Blog Talk Radio.
DM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. DM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. DM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show.
Hey, let me know how you feel, right? Hey, let me know how you feel.
don't know. She goes, get another drink and go.
WHAC, TM Hama Radio Live. Hey, welcome to the show. It's Money Monday in the city, July 11th. 917-889-3926. 917-889-3926. Let's beat debt and build wealth. That's our topic tonight. Hey, 71% of Americans say debts are making their home lives unhappy. I don't think we're shocked by that. I think finances, as well as the lack of communication, is one of the number one reasons for divorce in America. We definitely have money problems. The Wall Street Journal states that 70% of the American public lives from paycheck to paycheck. Tonight's topic, build wealth. And, well, actually, that's not the topic. The topic is actually beat debt, build wealth. Beat debt and build wealth. That's our topic tonight. We got Toya hanging out with us, who's going to bring us finance. But first, let's go all the way live to Charlotte, North Carolina, where CeeLo's hanging out. Welcome to the show.
Good afternoon in the morning time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hot. It's hot.
You're
here.
Hot. Hot in Charlotte. Hey.
Yeah,
it's
I did something special.
Kind of humid here in Florida, but we expect that, right? On the way, we have Domare and Toya joining us later in the show. Super savings, beat debt, and build wealth. CeeLo, how much, if you don't mind saying, how much debt do you actually have right now? Let's say not specifically,
no.
Right? Is it more than
$115,000?
Oh, wow. You don't mind just putting it all out there?
Yeah, I don't mind.
$115,000. Is that,
yeah.
So your mortgage must be included in that?
But yeah, that's mostly all my mortgage. I don't have credit card bills and stuff like that.
Oh, so let's take your mortgage out, right? Because, you know, most people die with mortgages. You don't normally pay mortgages off in your lifetime, but there are some who do. But let's say X the mortgage. What's your debt?
X, about $7,000. Yeah.
Okay, that's not a lot of debt. Actually,
no.
I kind of put myself around $10,000-$15,000, which really means we really don't have any debt.
Right.
I
not
mean,
compared
there are
to
people with, like, hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt.
Yeah. And the thing is, though, it's because I learned early that credit cards were not for me. But the first credit card that I got when I was in the military, I'm so serious. That was the first time I ever bought Christmas gifts, like, for everybody, like, you know, for my immediate family. I maxed the card out the first day I got it.
Wow.
But then I paid it down, like, you know, after a couple months or whatever. I mean, it didn't get outrageous. I paid it down. As soon as I paid it off, they upped my balance.
You maxed a credit card out in one day and don't
yes.
think that's outrageous?
But that was, you know how long ago that was, though? That was also about 20 years ago. And that's what I'm saying.
But
I learned early on that credit cards were not the thing for me.
Yeah, I think you raise a great point, though. You know, 20 years ago, were you in college?
No, I was in the Army.
Okay, so out of the house, on your own, you know, growing, though. I think credit cards lead to the death of many people, specifically new jacks who really don't know how to manage credit cards. Credit cards really should only be used for emergency purposes, but we need to define emergency for consumers tonight. And this is going to be a good conversation. Tonight we're talking about super savings. Beat Debt and Build Wealth. CeeLo is with us tonight. The other angels will be joining us soon, but let's stay right here on these credit cards for a minute. High school students get mailings for credit cards. College students get mailings for credit cards. And most have zero means of income. How do we pay the bills?
By the credit cards. I'm telling you, like, and the thing is that it's set up that way. The credit card
companies
know full on well that, you know, the kids, they haven't been taught, or even if they have been taught at that age, at the, you know, first getting out of the house, they're not listening to their parents. They're going to mess up for a couple years, you know. So that's what the credit card companies bank on.
They bank
then,
on, you know, high interest rates, you not paying the bill, and they can charge you triple, quadruple, you know, what they actually extended you as a credit line.
And they still get their money back at some point.
Absolutely. Let's wake up, America.
Yeah.
All the way live from Newark, Delaware. Give it up for Toya. Welcome to the show.
Hey, now. Good evening, good people. How are y'all doing tonight?
We are good. In the midst of super savings, beating debt and building wealth tonight, talking about these credit cards that they send college students, knowing they can't pay that bill.
Okay. Do they send everybody knowing they can't pay that bill?
I know,
and
right?
The crazy part is many of us, you know, got Jiminy Cricket happy when we received that credit card, knowing we weren't going to be able to pay the bill. Hey, tonight we're talking about beating debt and building wealth. Hey, it's a discipline, my friends, but we're going to talk about it. We'll be right back. 917-889-3926. 917-889-3926. Jump on it. We want to hear from you. Here's Bo D. Hashtag TM I'm Ready Live.
Yeah. I'm online right now. Trying to stay connected to the world via Twitter. Lego. Yeah. Y'all follow me, man. At Bodie Music. And this is no privacy. Yeah. Lego.
Boy, I'm about to start a trend. I'm about to put my swag on it. Better yet, a hashtag on it. Hell yeah, I'm about to start a trend. Hands up, put your sweat up. Roll up and follow me, nigga. I'm about to start a trend. And I'm about to put my swag on it. Betty had a hashtag on it. Hell yeah, I'm about to start a trend. Hands up, put your Twitter up.
Yeah.
Roll up and follow me, nigga.
Yeah. Okay, here's another song for you get hold to. Bash it, get thrown out, let's call it old food. These days my fans are like, dude, you are so cool. Tell me what's your Twitter, I'ma be certain to follow you. Hold up, hold up. Please don't forget to roll up. My discussions require so, bruh. I'm feeling real good, a little bit conceited. If you feel the same way, hell gone and retweet it. So gone like Lady B, following arrows like Key. Iconic like J.C. on and getting live like G. Plus I stay up in my mode like Young S.I.P.P. I'm representing Slip and Slide, Pristine and D.D.D. Old Town is my stomping ground, but I live in Tennessee. I can't forget New Orleans, that's where they raised me. I'ma do this to the day the good Lord lays me. 6 feet deep, until then I'ma tweet.
Boy, I'm about to start a trend. I'm about to put my swag on it. Betty had a hashtag on it. Hell yeah, I'm about to start a trend. Hands up, put your sweat up. Roll up and follow me, nigga. Hey, I'm about to start a trend. And I'm about to put my swag on it. Betty had a hashtag on it. Hell yeah, I'm about to start a trend. Hands up, put your sweat up. Roll up and follow me, nigga.
Hashtag, get the picture. I'm flashing for the twit pit. Going off that oil and I'm feeling like a dipstick. I'm enlisted, and the pound is some sick shit. Cause I spit blitz, hashtag feel dip. Hashtag, I'm a genius. When I'm hitting you with that ill verse, I'm something so addictive like this social network. Puns make your head turn till your fucking neck hurt. You just gotta mention me if you want the next expert. Sweet master, or better yet the expert.
Hashtag, you don't want to imagine my next verse. When I spit pack turds all over your sweatshirt and got your shit thinking I'm a sweat her. Pound bitch, please. I wouldn't fuck if I had a disease. I'm trying to make a lot of bread out these fucking seeds. And if a sucker disagrees, pound, come see me. Hashtag, watch me live what I speak.
Boy, I'm about to start a trend. I'm about to put my swag on it. Betty had a hashtag on it. Hell yeah, I'm about to start a trend. Hands up, put your sweat up. Roll up and follow me, nigga. Hey, I'm about to start a trend. And I'm about to put my swag on it. Betty had a hashtag on it. Hell yeah, I'm about to start a trend. Hands up, put your sweat up.
Muhammad Radio Live. Bo D has tag. Mm-hmm. 917-889-3926. 917-889-3926. All the way live from Chesapeake, VA. Give it up. But don't bet. Welcome to the show.
All right. Good evening, world. How's everybody doing this evening?
What's good? We talked about super savings. Beat debt and build wealth tonight. We were talking about credit cards. Hey, but let's just jump right to it. We talked a few days ago about Dave Ramsey. Dave Ramsey is the founder of Financial Peace University, author of the bestseller. It's a New York Times bestseller called Financial Peace Revisited. The whole premise of the book, you know, is to help us to think differently about our money. I do believe that money, finances, is really the number one cause of divorces in America. You know, people may debate, but at the end of the day, I think at the heart of it all are money issues. If an emergency happened today, an emergency, and we're going to talk about emergency, because I think emergency is relative. And it shouldn't be. If you had an emergency today, and I pose this to the folks on this panel, do you have an emergency fund? An emergency fund should, by definition of emergency fund, be at least $1,000. Ideally, 3 to 6 months stored up to pay your bills, 3 to 6 months in advance. But worst-case scenario, $1,000 in an emergency fund. Are we prepared for an emergency? CeeLo, are you prepared?
If everybody paid me back my money, I would have $1,000.
Doesn't sound like you're prepared. Toya, are you prepared?
Uh-huh, yes. I have Eddie here with me. I'm good.
That's what's cracking. Dee Dee,
exactly.
I know you're prepared.
Yes, sir. I feel as though I'm prepared.
Okay. And I can tell you that I am prepared. I'm not prepared. I do not have 3 to 6 months worth of funds stored up. I got a lot of bills. And no, I'm not prepared. You know, by my own means, I'm not prepared. You know, I have $1,000, but at the end of the day, my emergency fund, you know, should be the 3 to 6 months, and I'm not prepared. So I've started, you know, trying to help myself to prepare by getting involved with Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace. And that's step number one, understanding that you need an emergency fund. Most people stress out when they have an emergency, and it's not even the emergency that stresses them out. It's the reality that we weren't prepared for the emergency. What is an emergency? Dee Dee, what's an emergency from your perspective?
An emergency is my truck goes down because this is my only means of a mode of transportation to get me and my daughter back and forth in order to also make a living because sometimes I do mobile massages. So an emergency for me is my truck being out of commission, which is different than a catastrophe or a tragedy or something a little bit more catastrophic. I think you know, that emergencies comes on different levels, you know, depending on the situation.
Absolutely, but I think that is a real emergency that you just described. CeeLo, what's an emergency to you?
We don't have no food. That's,
you're
mean,
hungry.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, but being injured, that's an emergency.
Absolutely.
Of that,
health related issues.
Yeah, health related issues.
Emergency. Okay. I agree with that. That's an emergency. Toya, your definition of emergency, or what's an emergency to you?
Anything I don't have the money to take care of right then and there. So it could be anything. Car breakdown, a pipe burst in my house. It doesn't matter.
Right.
Anything that I may not have the money to pay for. Because when you have your definition of emergency will change. So.
Mhm. But listen to the common thread that exists between all three of the described emergencies. They really are, you know, situations that pose an immediate risk to health, life, property, or possibly even the environment. Those are emergencies. Most emergencies require urgent intervention to prevent a worsening of the situation. Although some situations, you know, I think mitigation may not be possible in some instances, but I think we just clearly defined an emergency. Toya, I thought you was about to veer off to the left a little bit because I do not believe that an emergency is anything that you can't pay for at this particular time. Because guess what? It could be a hairdo I don't have the money for, so I'm going into my emergency fund.
I'm not talking about shallow. I'm not talking about shallow stuff like that. That's for
exactly.
somebody who doesn't understand
and
what
I'm
real
glad
emergency.
You said those things.
I'm speaking of things that are real
you're
emergencies. Not me getting your hair done, not buying a pair of shoes or outfit to hit the club. Those aren't emergencies. That's somebody who doesn't have their priorities straight. And that's what comes first. That's not me, and that's not what I'm speaking of.
Right. But see, that's the
key word, priorities.
Because a lot of people
don't
know.
Key word, priorities.
Exactly. But a lot of people aren't taught what the difference is. Like, a lot of people aren't taught early what a car loan is. So when they get out there and, you know, on their own, and they think, oh, I could just sign up for this car loan, I can pay it when it really is, it's interest rates to go with that. There's time periods and so forth is, like, it's more involved than just going somewhere and saying, I want that car, give it to me. When a lot of people think that that's what it is. You know, it's life is more involved. Life is way more involved, and we have to teach our children, teach our people, period.
Absolutely.
Early on.
And our mission tonight is to empower and give hope to everyone from the financially secure, you know, really to the financially distressed. And if you're financially secure, you probably don't need our advice because I want to be where you are. But for the folks who are financially distressed, we just want to encourage you tonight. It starts with prioritizing. Whether you were taught, whether, you know, you understand, you know, finances or not, if you can count, you can get it right. You know, and at the end of the day, it comes down to common sense for your dollars and cents. You know, so let's stop just being impulse shoppers, buying whatever we can buy, really to keep up with the Joneses.
Yeah, okay.
Y'all like that, right?
Yes, okay. Yes, talking about my baby daddy like that. No. But look, seriously, you know what? We need to figure out a way that we can really each one teach one. You know what I'm saying? Like, inside our personal lives. You know what I'm saying? Because if you have someone that you know that is not good with money and you are, then help them get on track. You know what I'm saying? Don't just watch people. A lot of people will just be like, oh, that's not my business. I'm not going to tell this person how, you know, budgeting this way could help them, or, you know, maybe if they stop buying, you know, the Jordans for their 2-month-old baby, you know, who doesn't even know what those shoes are, but they're more than a month's worth of groceries. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it is priorities,
but how do we break that down? You see what I'm saying? We can
it starts with education. It starts with education. Like, check out this statistic right here. I was floored. At the top of the show again, you know, I shared that a recent study in the Wall Street Journal states that 70% of the American public lives from paycheck to paycheck. We're not shocked by that. But check this out. The Wall Street Journal article also stated that 55% of Americans always or sometimes worry about their money. 55%. And 70%, you know, the journal said, is living from paycheck to paycheck. You know, so if 70% is broke and 55% is worried about their money, what the hell? I mean, we need to change our way of living.
But doesn't that make the percentage like 100 and something? Like, well, where the hell, what are the other people doing? Are those that 5% that are... that are the wealthiest people in the world?
Guess what? That's about right. You know, I mean, right. At the end of the day, back in the 80s, you know, we were only losing, you know, a portion of the house. Let's say 600,000 foreclosures, you know, a year. Do you understand that we've gone from 600,000 foreclosures in the 80s to 1.5 foreclosures, you know, as of like 2005, it's ridiculous.
Wow.
We
but then,
aren't
this,
taking
again,
care of our business.
But a lot of people don't understand what, like for instance, yeah, it's nice to want to own a home, right? But the thing is that if you don't understand the papers that you're signing, and you're not signing for a fixed rate, and you go like you go in not knowing, you could sign a 30-year that after, you know, 2 years, your payment goes from $700 to $1,500 and then it'll raise up again. And a lot of people get caught up in that because they're like, oh, I can get the house right now and I don't got to worry about it blowing up till later. But they don't, you know what I'm saying? Like nobody explained to them. They were never educated before they even got to it to understand. That's not a good look unless you got the money.
It's true.
You know what I'm saying? Like to refinance and so forth prior to that, you know, prior to that ballooning period. I mean, it's a lot of things. We need to come up with a
whole lot. A whole lot of things. How well are you managing your money today? You know, only 32% of Americans will be able to cover a $5,000 emergency with cash without going into debt for it. You know, that means
right.
We aren't saving a dime. You know, approximately 76 million Americans have no retirement savings at all.
But a lot of people can't save.
76 million. What do you mean people can't save, though?
I mean, think about how many times, I don't know. Like, I know it's a sense where as soon as you pay something off, you're like, dang, I'm going to have that extra money, right? And then as soon as it seems like it's going to be extra money, something else pops up. And you got to take that quote-unquote extra money that you would have put in savings and got to put it towards this issue. And then hopefully next month, you know, everything will be clear. Okay, I'll be able to set that aside. And then something else happens.
It's a change in behavior. We said it earlier. Prioritizing. You got to prioritize. And at the end of the day, you got to cut back. Those things that make you feel all warm and fuzzy and pleasurable, you got to scale back. It means you can't drink coffee every morning. It means you can't go out to eat lunch every afternoon. You can't go to the movies on the weekend. If you're broke and you're crying busted, then you have to look at how much income comes in, how much income goes out, and where's it going? Most people can't even tell you where their money is going because it's not budgeted. They have no idea. I totally disagree that people can't save money. I'm even going back to Toya a few shows ago, maybe about a month ago, when the lady said that she made $7 an hour. Toya ragged the lady pretty much said, yeah, you can save money off of $7 an hour. Guess what? I agree with her.
Right. I don't know. I don't know nobody could say make $7 an hour. They could save some money. Like, I don't really get that part of it. Not in half, and not they paying their bills themselves. They pay. They live
tough.
In an apartment.
I think it's tough.
Yeah, that's an
but
extra.
It can be done. It
yeah.
absolutely can be done. Tonight we're talking about super savings. We're going to dive a little deeper into this when we come back. 917-889-3926. Brianna Moore, save me. Save us from debt, Brianna. TM Hotline Radio Live.
Information tank. I don't know if you have it on hand. I don't have the books handy,
to get that info, but it is definitely worth the money that you spend. You will make that back in no time.
Absolutely. On average, households save, you know, $5,000, you know, first 60, 90 days after graduating from this program. Where we are, the average American household has about $91,000 in debt. You know, that's just the bottom line. You know, where we could be, you know, imagine having absolutely no debt, no car payments, no credit cards, not even a house payment. You know, how would you feel to actually keep your money in your pocket instead of mailing it out to dozens of creditors month over month? You know, that's where we could be. And guess what? This is the deal. It's not a quick fix. You're not going to get there overnight. It's principles applied, and you have to start somewhere. Let's go to the phones. 917-889-3926. 917-889-3926. Area code 813, last four digits, 1012. That looks like our home mod coach, Keila McCaskill. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I just had a question. Does the class talk about, like, I know it's not an overnight thing, but when you're trying to, like, save money based on wherever that may be, I don't know if it's, you know, $100 a month, I don't know what that figure is, but when you're saving it and you're trying to, like, build wealth, I think that's the latter part or the ending part, part B of the topic tonight. But does it talk about the different, as you're saving it, does it talk about the way you accumulate more? Because I know $100 a month or $500 a month, whatever that goal is, and if I have an end goal, what are the avenues that it gave to get there? I know we work, but usually that's not our vehicle to get us to building wealth. So I'm just trying to see if it gives us, like, some real how-tos on saving and building, or saving, working towards a goal of building wealth. Or
absolutely. Like this. Wealth. It starts off, and I've just started the program, right? And I was so empowered and motivated after last week's show. I mean, after last week's class, I said, we got to talk about this on Mondays. But as it relates to wealth building, it's something as simple as this. And I'm not going to, you know, try to be the facilitator of the class. I'm new. But it's something as simple as, you know, $100 a month. You know, $100 a month, if you started putting that away when you were 25, you know, could reap serious dividends, you know, at the end of the day. So let's just say this. Let's go something more realistic, Keila. Let's say Keila and Terrence, you know, we both save $2,000 per year at 12%. 12%, you know, let's say that's let's say we'll get 12% from a money market account or something. We know that's way high, but let's just use that number, you know, 12%. I started at 19 and stop at 26. You started at 27 and you stop at 65. You know, me putting my $2,000 in the bank at 12%. Now, this is year over year. We putting $2,000 aside. So let's say $100 a month gets us $2,000 a year. We know that math is off, right? So first year, 12%, you know, I make $2,240. Second year, that grows into $4,749. Next year, that grows into $7,558. At the end of the day, my $2,000 will grow to $27,551. You know,
yeah, in the event
of $2,000, 12%. Now, I started and stopped. You started, you know, with $2,000, and never stopped. Going from 27 to 65, and I'm answering your question of wealth building, $2,000 a year at 12% interest, at 65 is $1,532. Well, no, it's $1,532,166. And that's just me doing some basic math.
Gotcha.
So we don't see small, you know, chops at the block of ice as doing damage. That's because we're instant gratification people. But if we really...
Because it can happen instantly. I just, you know, you've seen the whole, you know, you have opportunity. Maybe I'm asking the long-term goal, right? Because most of us on this call are, for the most part, younger. You know, taking risks that will reap us a greater return faster. And, yeah, that could be, you know, we want it right now. That could be that. But it's out there, but I don't know. Like day trading, sometimes you can grab $5,000 on day trading.
That's
not the kind of
wealth building that that Dave Ramsey's into. That's more so investments and risk taking. We're not talking about risk taking. You know, we're talking about wealth building, which is long term. I think that's the difference, and it requires a mentality shift and a change in behavior. Because most people are looking for a lot right now. Guess what? Economy ain't like that no more.
Right, right. It's making you work harder.
And so instead of working harder, we got to work smarter.
But yeah, and you know what, though? The thing is that when you look at, when you tell a young person, like, I remember they tried to get me to sign up for, like, the insurance. When you sign up, like, you pay $50 a month into it, and then, you know, at 10 years, it's X amount of dollars and so forth. It's pretty much speaking like what you were just talking about. But the thing is that some of those programs don't allow you to get your money when you need it in the event of a, you know, a tragedy or, you know, where you really
put
your money right.
In a money market account. You can get it out whenever you need to, and you can save and earn interest at the same time. Like, if you have $1,000 for an emergency fund, I would put it in a money market account, you know, and at the end of the day, we're talking about an account with the mutual fund company, and at the end of the day, you can get it out when you need to. But this is it, though. Let's stop looking at our money as investment capital, when it really should be insurance to us.
When it should be what to us? I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Insurance.
Part.
It should be insurance to us.
Okay. But the thing is that, like, really it's how, I'm trying to tell you, like, I'm coming from the point of view of, I've had the, you know, I own stocks and I had all that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I had my backup plan,
right?
My backup plan was destroyed by by being injured. I could have never prepared for that. And maybe it was my own, my own cockiness that, you know, not that I'll never get hurt, but nothing could take me down like that. And I thought I had it together. But then I ended up having to go into my, cashing out my stocks, you know, having to sell some of them, having to trade, you know, it's like, and you can try to stretch it out and take care of everything. Well, I still have to recover from that, and I'm not going to be able to work. So where do you go from there? And so it's like, it sounds pretty, but when you've been knocked down, and you don't have much to reach from, or mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying, to build something,
mm-hmm.
it sounds pretty.
No, absolutely. I think everybody's situation is different. Everybody's situation is different, and we have to deal with it, you know, on a case-by-case. But at the end of the day, you know, the concept is, you know, are you prepared for the unexpected? Because unexpected events do occur, you know, so expect them. You know, bottom line, things happen, expect things to happen. You know, but a baby step in the right direction is for any beginner, anybody who's trying to get on a good foot as it relates to beating debt and building wealth, it starts with an emergency fund. You know, and guess what? If your household makes less than $20,000 a year, $1,000 may not be legitimate. You know, maybe $500, you know, should start your emergency fund. But you have to start somewhere. And, again, that's a baby step in the right direction. And then your next baby step after you save $500 is $1,000. From $1,000, your next step should be trying to actually acquire 3 to 6 months of expenses and savings. But, see, this is the deal. Most of us want to put the cart before the horse. And we think, we say we can't do it, I don't make enough. Guess what? Your tongue is powerful. If you say you don't make enough, you can't save, you don't make enough, you won't save. It's a mind game.
I know that when I originally started trying to build some type of nest egg or whatever you want to call it, because when I started, the salary wasn't sufficient for me to say I'm going to contribute $500 a month towards whatever. So what I did was I used like tax return and bonuses and whatever extra income I received and didn't use it at all. And that's how I was able to build it a lot faster than trying to do it per month. And once you get to a certain point, then you can start doing the monthly thing. But for a lot of people coming out of their day-to-day or week-to-week pay, it's difficult. But if you take care of everything during the week-to-week pay and you receive a bonus or you receive a tax return or you receive birthday money, you receive whatever, that can be used to fund the, you know, wealth building or whatever plan you might have versus trying to come out of your pay. If it's too tight, because some people it is, because they already have a set amount of things they have to pay and their money is allocated for that stuff, as you go, you know you're going to get a tax return, maybe. You know you may get a bonus. You know you may get birthday money. You know you may just get a gift. And when you do, it can be used to build the wealth.
Right. And see, this is the deal with wealth building. It starts that the key ingredient is discipline. The key ingredient is discipline. And wealth building, again, is not a marathon. You know, it's not a marathon. I mean, excuse me, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. You know, and that's not feel good for a lot of people. But wealth building is a marathon. It's not a sprint. So just check this out. Think about, again, lunch 5 days a week. Think about gourmet coffee. When I say gourmet coffee, think about Starbucks. You know, I don't know how many of y'all drink coffee. I don't. I don't know who smokes cigarettes. I do not. But think about cigarettes. $3 a day for a pack. That's $90 a month. You know, I mean, if you invested, well, I'm just keeping it low. I don't smoke cigarettes, so I don't know, but you get the point. $3 a day, $90 a month, you know, and let's stick with that 12%. You know, if we invested that money at 12% from, let's say, I mean, people start smoking cigarettes, you know, before the age of 16 these days. So let's just say from 16 to 80 or from 16 to 75. You know, $90 a month at 12% from the age of 16 to 75 is like a whopping $11 million. It's like $11,622. You know, somebody may not think that they have that money, but guess what? Over your lifetime, you're spending that kind of money, but you don't see it as significant. You don't see it as significant. You see it as, I need some cigarettes. But it's the same with coffee, $5 a day. You know, that's $150 a month. You know, using that same premise, that's $19 million, you know, from age 16 to 75. $8 a day on lunch, $160 a month. That's $20 million in that same time period. You know, we have to change our perspective on finances because guess what? There's this thing called compound interest. And the reality is most people don't understand math. If you understood math, you would go sit down somewhere and stop spending your money because compounded interest over time is like a mathematical explosion. You got to start
Now. But see, again, you see how you're explaining it, though? You know how many people never heard it before right now?
Absolutely.
You know,
that's why we're doing it. That's why we're doing it.
The two? Right. I mean, yeah, hence why we're here. But still.
That's why we're here, baby. You're inside Money Monday. If you just joined the show, hey, we're just trying to help you to beat that and to build wealth. Most people are looking. We're not talking about get rich quick. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a mental shift that requires some discipline and it requires some prioritizing. This is cashier, dollars. It's called dollar season. We're trying to get our dollars up this season. We'll be right back. TMI Radio.
Junior's World.
Okay.
Junior's World. Junior's World.
$1,000 and starting that small emergency fund, I just wanted to give everybody five easy ways that you can save money. First one being going on autopilot. You know, pay yourself first. A lot of people don't realize if you have some money taken directly out of your paycheck and put into an account that you don't really have access to, it makes it a lot easier to save because you're not missing the money because you don't really see it. So go on autopilot, have a percentage of your check deposited directly into an account so that, you know, you don't miss it. The second thing you can do is keep the change, and this is like an old school thing. I don't think everyone's seen their parents, grandparents do it, but taking their change out their pockets or out of their purses, pocketbook, and putting it in a jar or in some type of old school type of piggy bank. A lot of people don't do that. I know I do that now with my change. I actually put it in my daughter's bank. But if you do that for yourself, that little bit of change adds up. Once that bank is full, you take it, or that jar is full, you take it to your bank. Or to a bank that has a free coin exchange machine, turn in that change and take the money and put it into your savings account instead of cashing it out and going and spend it. The third thing you can do is forget the raise. A lot of people have learned to live on not getting a raise. Usually, I think right now, just in the past 2 to 3 years, a lot of companies have not been giving raises to their employees. So you should be used to living off of a budget that you probably hadn't placed for the past 2 to 3 years. So when you finally do get your raise, congratulations, but how about you just try living without it? Just take the difference between the old and the new take-home pay and deposit it right into savings. You've been used to living without it for the past 2 years. Why don't you keep doing it and save the money instead? A lot of people, when they get a raise, they pick up new expenses, whether it be a new card note or if they go, you know, purchase some type of toy, motorcycle, or jet ski, or you know, they go to purchase a home, you know, move out of the apartment, get the home. But whatever, maybe don't pick up any new expenses. Just stick to your same old budget. Fourth thing, keep the habit. You know, it took you years to pay off the car that you really shouldn't have financed in the first place. But now that it's paid off, you've already had that car note built into your budget. Just take that money that you were putting towards a car note and now put that in savings. Even if you can't take the entire thing, if you at least take half of it, take some of that money, keep the habit going, and just keep paying your car note into your savings. You should be used to paying it. Just continue to pay it, but put the money elsewhere, somewhere that can help you instead of paying off finance charges, you know, on a new vehicle. And lastly, finders keepers. We heard of one of our guests on the line not too long ago say, you know, you get birthday money, you get money for special occasions. You never know, you might find $20 in your coat from winter. You may have a, you know, a rebate check that you get from a company that you forgot about. All those little extra monies that you receive that you weren't looking forward to and that you really don't need, just take those and put those into a, you know, into your savings account. That money will add up over time. You know, $50 here, $25 there, $10 here. That will add up, and it will help you to reach your $1,000 savings. So just keep those things in mind. We, you know, heard Terrence, and I think we've all talked about it on the show before, you know, people spend money previously on, you know, eating out on lunch every day, buying $4 cups of coffee when they can make their coffee at home. I know I spend money on breakfast every Monday through Friday, which I probably shouldn't, but I do. So, you know, it's little things that you can cut out, you know, to save money. You'd be surprised at how much you spend going out to eat over a month's time. So, you know, start keeping track of your expenses, find all the little extra money that you're spending that you don't need to, and, you know, direct that money to your savings, and you will end up with $1,000 a lot faster than you think that you would.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In this life, you know, we all go through, you know, times of famine. You know, whether it's a layoff, you know, a lengthy illness, large financial loss, you know, we need to be prepared and save up while we can. You know, America's on this spending frenzy, and I don't get it, in an economy that's dwindling. I mean, America even owes money, folks. Come on, don't we get it? Guess what? It will allow us, just by preparing, it will allow us to, you know, be able to better cope through difficult times, and in some cases survive. You know, the definition, you know, one definition of maturity, in my opinion, is learning to delay pleasure. I'll repeat that. One definition of maturity, in my opinion, is learning to delay pleasure. Children do what feels good. Adults devise a plan and follow it. That was Toya live out of Newark, Delaware, with Finance Tonight. Thank you. It is almost 11 o'clock. It's 11:59. on in the city. 917-889-3926. We'll be right back.
DM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. DM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. DM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show.
With us, got an hour left in our show. Yeah. It was Money Mondays, baby.
We got my Cecilia McCaskill hanging out with us. The Angels live from Charlotte, CeeLo, Art, Toya, Chesapeake, Didi. Thanks for rocking with us, everybody. 1-7-889-3926. Super savings is the topic tonight. Beat debt and build wealth. Inside Money Monday. We're talking about money, saving, and changing our behavior to apply some kingdom principles. Mr. John Wesley made a quote, and he said, make all you can, save all you can, give all you can. And I'm just going to kind of take it back you know, to a biblical reference here. You know, Hebrews 12 and 11 says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. And at the end of the day, that just says, discipline is your friend. Discipline leads to positive things, and at the and guess what? Discipline is the key ingredient again for wealth building. If you're going to achieve in any area, whether it's financial, whether it's academia, whether it, whatever it is, even in your family life, you've got to apply some discipline. Again, children do things based on how they feel, what feels good. Adults pull plans together and they abide by them. And we kind of have to separate, you know, the child's play, you know, that many of us as adults are still playing right now. You know, many of us are still children, grown people's bodies. We're still doing some of the same things we did when we were teenagers, in our 20s, in our 30s, and we're 50 and 60 years old right now, still broke as a joke. And it's because we never really applied true discipline in our lives. And as young people, as Kiva said, and even as young people raising young people, we should be educating them to do better than what we're doing. Not to provide a cop-out excuse for not succeeding or being successful or achieving. You know, I mean, life is what you make it, my friends. Let's break down all this debt and build up some wealth. Toya, what was one of the most poignant aspects of Financial Peace University for you? You've also gone through the course.
I think I like the insurance lessons and the mutual fund money market lessons.
For those who may not know, what is a money market fund, Toya?
It is pretty much a, like, you kind of buy an ownership into a company. It's a very small piece of the company. but, you know, there are different types of money market and mutual funds that you can put your money into, and that's pretty much what it is. You buy a portion of a company and make a money off of it.
I do not have a money market account, but if you don't mind, Domet, I know that you do. You want to expound on a money market account and why it's beneficial?
I don't want to sound like the expert on it. I only to say it's beneficial in the sense that it has a higher interest rate than your normal savings account. It makes you stretch your goal of saving a little bit higher because it requires you to put more, like, into the money market account to start it. You just can't start, like, I think a savings account is $5, and a money market account, depending on your financial institution, can be up to $500, $1,000. It can start with $50, it just depends. But it just sets that savings goal a little bit higher for you, which helps in growing your discipline as a person. So, I mean, that's a benefit within itself. I have to bring the health and wellness in there. Again, I don't want to sound like an expert. That's what the benefits were to me. I do have a money market account, and I think it's great. It's something that I'm saving for to buy a bigger home. So it's helped me over time just build a bigger interest rate. I don't have a need to go in it, but it's there if I need to. So
I know that most money – Vivi, does your money market account give you, like, check writing privileges? Because some do.
To say it again, does it give me check writing privileges?
Check writing privileges. I was just saying that some money market mutual funds offer check writing privileges, and that's why some people say it's a good reason to use that as your emergency savings fund opposed to using a regular savings account, because, like you said, it's a higher interest on it. You get more on your return, but you can also write checks against it in the event there is an emergency.
Well, no, I don't get to write checks on it, but I can. I do have withdrawals, a certain number of withdrawals with no penalty.
With no penalty? Okay, because some of them offer check writing privileges.
Mine has check writing privilege.
So, yeah,
right.
Mutual funds there, the money market mutual funds, they're low-risk money markets, and a lot of them have the check writing privileges, not to be confused with the standard mutual funds. I think some people get this confused.
Yeah.
Right. Folks, we're talking about trying to save for an emergency fund. Anywhere from $500 to $1,000 is a good number for establishing an emergency fund. And again, you know, in life, there are going to be those unexpected events that occur. So guess what? Expect them. So instead of every time you get paid, instead of making yourself feel good, running out buying that new pair of shoes, that new dress every time you get paid, guess what? You probably have dresses and shoes that you don't even wear often. You know, it's a shift in your mentality that requires some discipline. And remember this. Once you establish that fund, it is not for investments. You should look at it as insurance. Too many people, including myself, have saved money, but then our friends was going on a vacation. We wanted to go. You know, we saw that flat screen TV on sale. We purchased it. And guess what? We called it an emergency. An emergency fund is not for investments. We have to look at that emergency fund as insurance, and that's why it's important to put it into a money market account so that it's not that accessible. It helps you, and again, it's applying discipline in your life. Coming up, we have Entertainment National News coming live out of Charlotte, North Carolina tonight. But we're going to help you. You know, we're going to talk through a quickie budget. You know, do you budget? What is a budget? Why should you budget? At the end of the day, and guess what? Do you know how much money comes into your house? Do you know how much money goes out of your house? That's the first step in pulling all of this stuff together. You know, we got a 1, 2, 3, 4-step action plan for you tonight that we're going to share and help you to get on your path to some super savings. But the first tip is discipline, and guess what? A shift in your mentality. This is not a get-rich-quick scheme. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. We're talking about building wealth. 917-889-3926. Jump on it. Share your experience. Share your thoughts. Step one in helping you to do some super savings. Get an understanding of your monthly total gross income as well as what's going out. What's coming in, what's going out? You know, where is your spending going? You know, what are the necessities in your life right now? Who's eating up your money? Why are they eating up your money? Identify what you can do without. Those things that you can do without, those are the things that you need to start eliminating and re-diverting those funds into your emergency fund. Guess what? Cigarettes, I know some people can't live without smoking that nicotine, but this is a good time to stop smoking. One, you're going to live longer. Two, you can save hundreds of thousands of dollars. You may not see it now, but absolutely what we're encouraging you to do can help you. Can help you to beat debt and to start building some wealth. So, again, how much money's coming in? What are the necessities in your life right now? Where's that money going? You got to write it down. You got to lay out everything. You know, what do you give? You know, how much is your rent? How much are the utilities? You know, do you pay for transportation? Do you pay for clothing? You know, what kind of personal liabilities? Insurance, life insurance, health insurance, you know, disability insurance, child care. And then there's this thing called entertainment. I'm not saying eliminate the entertainment in your life, but you got to scale it back so that you can make better choices and decisions that will impact not just you, but your overall household. Weigh in, folks. Weigh in. Kiva, you want to add anything to this conversation tonight before we go to a break and get ready for Entertainment National News?
No, it's their conversation. I mean, it's the truth, but, you know, I guess that is a good starting point. Yelling at budget. Say it again. I couldn't hear you.
It's difficult.
Oh yeah, it requires it.
I heard a but. I heard a but. You said it's true, but well, what's the but?
But you know, just getting there. I guess starting is the biggest part. Just doing that. I mean, especially when you're trying to find where is your, so you know what your income and expenses are. You know what you got going out, but to actually sit down and say the plan is this amount, or maybe the plan needs to be more realistic. I don't know. I'm sitting here thinking about my own plan, and I'm thinking maybe I need to just scratch all of that and start over, keep it real basic. I don't know, but really good.
It is difficult. It's not going to be easy. Because at the end of the day, it starts with us as individuals. But I can tell you this. Think about every financial challenge you've had, every occurrence that was unexpected, and you stressed out about it. You may have even broke up with somebody over the situation. Think about this, though. If you had an emergency fund, would that situation have been so stressful? Most situations deal with money. It wouldn't be so stressful if we were prepared.
And that's what
and
I was saying
even
earlier,
have to be...
Parent.
Yes, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was just saying that's what I was saying earlier when I said that it kind of changes your definition of what an emergency is. Because if you have 6 months of, you know, worth of money sitting in the bank and your transmission goes, it's not really going to kill you. You're not going to be stressed out over going to, you know, get your transmission fixed. Where if you have no money in the bank, you owe Tim and Tom money and you can't make ends meet, then that's a real emergency to you. And that's what I meant by, you know, it changes your definition of emergency when you have the funds opposed to when you don't have the funds. It's not really, I mean, it's an emergency, but it's not a big deal to you. You're, you know, it's not really going to hurt you because you already prepared for it. Right.
We're just trying to help you to prepare. We're talking about super savings. Up next, Entertainment National News. It's 11:30.
DM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. DM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. DM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. Live Talk Radio Show.
Cause I'm full of than a fan, let the windshield blow. Yeah, I know you like it like that. When LG pick a track like that, I think they like it like that.
Double stacking graves, exhuming bodies,
And then like they were crushing the vaults and the caskets before dumping the human remains at the cemetery's trash site. They even found, during the investigation, they found Emmett Till's original glass-faced casket in a garage with lawn equipment. Because remember, he was his body was exhumed back in like 95 to to reopen that investigation on his death. And so when they reburied him, they put him in a new casket. But they reused it. The people at this cemetery, they actually reused the casket. They're like, are you serious? I don't know. So, so she got 12 years, and rightfully so. And then there's like three other people that who are being charged as the grave diggers. So, yeah, you gotta watch your people even after they're dead. I mean, come on here. All right, so last but not least, 13-year-old Autumn Ashanti, who's a homeschool young lady, she was accepted to the University of Connecticut like a couple of weeks ago. Well, the university has now rescinded their offer of enrollment, citing that Autumn was not academically ready. Now, my thing is this, her father's who homeschooled her, they were in process of moving to Connecticut, you know, for her to go ahead and get started on her freshman year, but then got the letter. Now, I was like, okay, you can tell her that she's maybe not mentally ready, because a 13-year-old being in college, you know, that is a bit much, but, you know, I would just say she's not mentally ready for the experience. Don't tell her she's not academically ready, because apparently she was smart enough to get accepted, you know what I'm saying? So she may not just be ready for that, you know, adult experience of the college, but give the baby a chance. And that's all I have to say about that. Whatever you do, do it well.
Whatever you do, do it well. Such an abrupt conclusion. CeeLo coming to us live out of Charlotte tonight. We'll keep this conversation going about super savings. We're trying to beat debt and build up wealth. Folks, again, back in the 80s, we were only losing 600,000 houses. Really, I think within a five-year period, between 2001, 2005, that 600,000 has grown to 1.5 million. We got to do something different. We're helping you to beat debt and increase wealth. CeeLo, live out of Charlotte. Thank you.
Need energy? Can't sleep? Yo, you have discomfort? Yo, I got a solution for you. The name of the company is called Ciora. Yo, I need you to log on. Foresight.ciora.com. www.foresight.ciora.com. Stress, pain, can't sleep, all of those issues. Put the Red Bull down. Stop popping those pills because this product is non-transdermal. Ciora is the company. Yo, it's global. It is blown up, and now it's all over the world. Be the first to try a new cutting-edge solution. www.foresight.ciora.com. Foresight.ciora.com. Can't sleep? Need energy? Got discomfort? Ciora.
Ladies, if you're anything like me, you never have enough time in your day to handle all of the important things. So why waste your valuable time running from store to store to purchase everyday items? Listen, I have your solution. Log on to www.determineyourdestiny.com. It's your one-stop shop for just about everything you need, from cleaning to nutrition to beauty. If it's in your home, it's on the site, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So log on to www.determineyourdestiny.com. Exclusive items right at your fingertips at your convenience. Determine your destiny.
DM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. DM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. DM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. Live Talk Radio Show. Talk Radio Show. Talk Radio Show. Talk Radio Show. Talk Radio Show.
I make that rolling music. I'm on that rolling music. The pills make me do it. This is that rolling music.
I'm rolling. I'm rolling. Yeah. I'm rolling. Yeah. I'm rolling. I'm rolling. I'm rolling. Yeah.
Now, beam me up, Scotty. Beam me up, Scotty. Beam me up, Scotty.
I'm rolling.
Beam me up, Scotty. Beam me up, Scotty. Beam me up, Scotty.
wake up in the morning, don't know how I got here. I stumbled to the fridge and pulled me out a cold beer. I go back to the couch, then I check my phone. Then I check my pockets, this must have left me alone. Gucci bandanas and I smell like her cologne. I mean her perfume, this got me in the zone. I look around me, I'm checking my surroundings and feeling on this leather cause this shit profound me. Then I see a pig man, he known as the brick man. Thinking that I popped his bitch, I crack a slight grin. Turns out it was his name Shot. 5'4" slanted eyes and we both get a real pill popping animal with pill popping. And she don't mind going down, she could fuck a good. So I scroll back through my phone trying to find a good flick. Cause when you rolling, you be on that shit. I'm rolling. 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 Now. Beam me up, Scotty. Beam me up, Scotty. Beam me up, Scotty. I'm rolling. Beam me up, Scotty. Beam me up, Scotty. Beam me up, Scotty. I'm rolling. It's overdose. What you ask for? I got that that'll put you on your boy. Soon as I get them, I'm hopping on Route 50. I'm gonna work with them. And my mouth twitching, clutching on the kickstand, moving fast as man. Blue Dolphin Superman, just to keep it bland. So ask your man who got a man, who gon' ask his friend. For that boy, the $8 man. Oh, you don't f*** with what about? Oh, you don't f*** with that? Let's take it back to I got what you need. Oh, yeah, your car on E. I f*** with your G. I got delivery. Smash box, flood the trap spot. Got a whole pack, work it to the block hot. Orange 2 is gone, next 48 we out. And we pop a bean to celebrate that we moving on them. The regular life, my life was like a moving home. And it's starring me, L overdose. And I'm memeing on them. I got the Nina on them. Front seat action, hip hop, get your speaker blown. I'm rolling. 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 Now, beam me up, Scotty. Beam me up, Scotty. Beam me up, Scotty. I'm rolling. Beam me up, Scotty. Beam me up, Scotty. Beam me up, Scotty. I'm rolling.
Overdose with I'm rolling. Tim Hyman Radio Live tonight. We're having a good topic conversation tonight, talking about building our finances and building wealth, and just learning about this new financial program by Dave Ramsey. Toya's been through it. Terrence has been through it. I have to go through it. Man, I have no other choice. So I can't wait for my church offers it again. So I'm really looking forward to it, but y'all keep dropping these little jewels and nuggets on us, and it's making me a little anxious. So, Terrence.
I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, I'm telling you, I'm stuck on this. I'm stuck on this quote. You know, you will either learn to manage money, or the lack of it will absolutely manage you. Just want to go back to the fact that people think that they can't save, but I'm here to tell you, it starts right now. Those cigarettes, that Starbucks, that lunch you do 5 days a week. You know, $3 here, $5 there, $8 there. Guess what? On a monthly basis, it's like $90, $150. It's like $160. Over time, you know, if you started when you were a teenager up until retirement, you know, we're talking millions of dollars. We don't think we spend millions of dollars. We don't even see ourselves as millionaires. But guess what? Over time, we're spending millions of dollars, my friend. my friends, and we got to just start to think a little better. That compounded interest over time, again, it's like an explosion. And all you need to do is to prepare for retirement, prepare for the latter years. And guess what? You can start preparing for the latter years today. And over time, with that compounded interest, you'll go from a few dollars today to hundreds of thousands, potentially even millions of dollars tomorrow. Not literally tomorrow, but again, years down the road. You inside Money Monday tonight. It's Monday, July 11th. And we're going to stick to sharing this type of information with you, Money Monday over Money Monday, for the next few weeks. We're going to stay right here. The reality is, again, most Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. We need some discipline in our lives, folks. We need an emergency fund. We got to expect the unexpected. Things are going to happen whether you're prepared or not. So take some of the stress out of whatever's going to happen and have a little nest egg set aside for you. Again, discipline is required. Building wealth is a marathon. It's not a sprint. And, again, we're not children anymore. So we need to put down the foolish, childish things that deal with pleasure, you know, and we got to get serious about our finances. Spoke to you about step one before the break with budgeting. Go ahead and lay out, you know, how much are you spending on necessities each month? Write it down. Write them down. And guess what? Even if you're grossly inaccurate, it may be that you really didn't notice how much you were spending. Guess what? I had no idea how much I was spending until I wrote it down. And then I was like, TM, you are a spending fool.
Yes, you are.
Because anybody who knows me can say that. Because guess what? I'm a spender and I'm a giver. And guess what? It's a mindset. I'm a single man. I don't have kids. I work hard. Therefore, guess what? I play hard. But at the end of the day, it all feeds my emotions. It all feeds my pleasure. And guess what? I'm growing up. I'm becoming a little more disciplined. So the pleasures of yesterday shouldn't be the pleasures of tomorrow. And at the same time, I'm saving, you know, hundreds of dollars by not indulging so much, you know. And guess what? You need to do the same thing. We got to shift our perspectives and get serious about our finances. Step two, write down how much money is required to completely pay off items. You know, what's outstanding, excluding your mortgage, because your mortgage is going to be there for the most part. But when you think about your car, when you think about, you know, that item that you have that you should have paid cash for instead of putting it on a credit card, write down exactly how much is required to completely pay off those things outside of your mortgage. That's step two. Step three, how far are you behind? You know, with every account that's past due, write down how many days you're past due and what will it take to get that bill paid off. What's past due? What will it take to get that bill paid off? We're trying to help you to understand what's coming out, what's coming in, and how you can quickly start to establish that emergency fund that you're going to put into a money market account, because that money market account provides you the highest interest that's out there today. Again, we're just trying to help you. I'm not an expert. I'm far from being an expert. I'm a student right now. But guess what? I'm a student that likes to share information if I feel like it's going to be helpful information. Has this been helpful?
Yeah, well, let me ask you this. What's the best place to look for a money market account, though? Because, I mean, like, for instance, I went to a credit union the other day, and, you know, I was like, well, what's the best place to put my money in, you know, like, say if I'm going to have, you know, a deposit, you know, some places they want you to have, like, a deposit of at least $250 or whatever every certain amount of, over a certain amount of time, you know, like, I guess every month or what have you. But like,
I would say whoever you're trusting with your savings account and with your checking account, you know, that's who I would, you know, open up my money market account with. But Domair, you wanna expound on that? Give the best advice.
The question was, what's the best place to look for the money market account?
I'm going to say this. My best advice is to go to someone who has knowledge and education in that field. I actually just invested in some from my goddaughter and my daughter, and I went to my credit union, and I talked to a financial advisor at the credit union, and he was very helpful. If I didn't, you know, think that his information was credible and didn't like the product he was offering me, I would have went to an outside financial institution to find just for the financial advice, because you don't have to go through your bank. But I think you should start there just to get more education on what you're doing, because you just don't want to throw your money into anything, and you need to know what you're throwing your money into.
Right. Well, the reason I was asking is because interest rates aren't really that high now. You know, the return interest rates are not.
Right.
I mean, like at the credit union the other day, I think the highest they were paying, it was like point one, you know, point three. No high return.
Well, Cilo, that's usually in basic savings accounts. But
yeah,
it changes a little when you go into money market accounts. But the one thing you want to look for, which Dee Dee just said, is you need to find somebody who's going to take the time to sit down and make sure you understand everything. Someone who's going to teach it to you, not someone who's just throwing money at you or telling you to throw your money into an account and you don't know what you're talking about or what you're dealing with. You need to sit with somebody who has the heart of a teacher, as Dave Ramsey would say, someone who actually wants to make sure you understand where your money is going. So they're not just making recommendations, but they're actually teaching you what you're doing with your money. So you don't want to, you know, just say, oh, I'm at the credit union, I'm going to, you know, make sure the person at the credit union is actually taking the time to make sure you understand everything thoroughly, not just saying, put your money here, put your money here, put your money here, but not giving you a reason as to why you're putting your money there. They need to make sure you understand it. So you need someone who's going to actually teach you, not someone who's just telling you what to do.
Right.
The education is first. That's what you need to first. That's first and foremost what you need to go do. Get yourself educated on the different products out there so that you know from, you know, savings bonds is like the lowest risk ever that you can take, you know, to put your pumps to do a savings, something like that. Or, you know, if you want to go a little bit higher in risk, maybe some CDs, or you want to jump up there a little bit more, you know, you can get a money market account and diversify it. And you need, but you just need to be aware of everything that's available to you, the interest rate, who gets paid, how to get paid, how much, you know what I'm saying, what the return is, what your risk is, you know, because really, you know if you are a conservative investor, if you are a risky investor, if you are conservative, you just want to go with the conservative savings account and just, you know, chop away at it month by month or paycheck by paycheck. Or you might want to be a little bit more risky. Go with a mutual fund. Go with some stocks and bonds. You know, take a gamble at it. Or, you know, you might want to invest in real estate. It just depends. But my advice, my recommendation, but first just get yourself educated on the different products that's available to you on which how you can save money and make a return, especially if you're into I need a return, you know, fast, or not fast, but, you know, in a, you know, if you're looking for like maybe 3 years, I'm going to say like that, you know, 24 to 36 months, if that's your goal or something like that, or if you're looking for long term, there's so many different things. So, okay, let's do one more time.
Yeah. People say money is the root of all evil. That's something that we say for the love. I think that's 1 Timothy 6 and 10. It says, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And we take that and we massage it and make it what we want to. And over the years, we've heard that, you know, money is evil. But at the end of the day, guess what? Money does not have a heart or a soul. So the money is not evil. It's the people that put their hands on the money and what we choose to do with it that makes it evil at the end of the day.
And I believe we talked about that, like a month ago? We talked about money, it's the love of money. We had a whole conversation, I think like a whole segment on that, if I'm not mistaken, maybe about a month and a half ago. And it's something that we all, you know, agreed on, that it wasn't just the money, but the love of money and the person who's handling the money and how they handle it.
Absolutely. You know, savings must become a priority. You know, you got to stop saying, I don't have enough, I can't save, I don't have enough. Because anybody, again, and I'm going to just stay on cigarettes because everybody can relate to cigarettes or something small enough. If you set that, you know, and again, I have a friend that's actually in a class with me that started last week, and she said that she had just stopped smoking. So what she's doing now is she's saving her $4 or $5, you know, whatever cigarettes cost every day. And she's been doing that for the last couple of weeks. So at the end of the week, she says she has like $25, $30 that she would normally spend in cigarettes, and now she takes herself out to eat on the weekend. See, that's a step in the right direction. She's not necessarily saving the money, but she's trying to kill a habit and change, you know, and discipline herself at the same time, trying to change her behavior. Everybody has something that they can cut out in their life, and they can redirect those funds to your emergency fund. But again, saving must become a priority. And you know what? We got to learn how to pay ourselves. We got to learn how to pay ourselves and pay ourselves first. For those who tithe, again, a tenth goes to God regardless. But you got to learn how to pay yourself and set some money aside. That's called savings. Saving money is really about emotion and contentment. We spend money out of emotions, and we save money out of emotions. But some of us are so content with what we do, at the end of the day, we don't have the right attitudes. You got to have the right attitude. The only difference between saving and hoarding, or saving and spending, or hoarding and spending and saving, it's your attitude. That's the differentiator right there. 917-889-3926. Jump on it. Let's go to the phones. Area code 757. Last four digits 5356. We know this number. Welcome sincere to the show. What's going on, bro?
What's going on, man? I'm the last person to call in on this show because my money management habits suck.
Join America.
I got a wife that is very, very good at managing my money. So, hey, I'm not in a bad situation. I mean, I just want to hop and just retouch on something. Just educate yourself before you do anything. I mean, even with my wife watching a majority of my money, you know, some of us go out and we have secret accounts. And I had a secret account. And I was spending money so much that I wasn't paying attention until one day I looked at my account like, what the heck is this? So finally, I had this account for maybe like 3-4 months. And I go into the bank and I tell the lady, I'm like, look, before I went in, I called and I asked them what all these fees were, and they just hit me with all these different fees. I'm like, okay, forget it. So I go in, I'm like, look, I just want to close the account. And she's like, why? So I explained, and she looked and she's like, oh, we can refund those fees. She just set you up with the wrong account. I say, okay, well, fix it. So 2 days later, I get a phone call from somebody else from the bank. I can't say the bank's name. And found out that they had hit me for the tune of like $550 worth of fees. And here I am just spending money, and I didn't even notice that money was gone.
They weren't overdraft fees?
No. Just bank fees. Transferring, because I had, when I set the account up, I set up the savings, I set up the check-in, I set up another account and the credit card. So I was transferring the majority of the money I was putting in savings. But then I would transfer money from savings. So every time I transferred my money,
you still there, Sophia?
I'm gonna tell him every time you transfer his money,
I transfer, they would charge me a fee, and I'm like, "How you transfer charging me a fee for moving my money when I already paid a fee for this account?" Well, that's just your monthly fee for this, this, and that. It doesn't count transfers. So, I mean, it's just, even though a lot about us, we might go into the bank and we think that the person who's sitting across from us telling us about all this stuff is educated in what they're telling you about. A lot of them are just trying to get that account.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
And they don't really care what happens to your money after that. It's just, well, here you go. I got this sucker and whatever, whatever. I mean, but it's just, I learned from that to pay more attention to my money. I mean, even, and maybe that wasn't the message I was supposed to get out of. I should have never had a secret account in the first place. But either
well, that
way.
That was one message. Right.
Yeah, that was just karma. But I mean, to make everything look good, I mean, you got to keep the house happy, you know, make your wife think you got all the money going to the right place. You're not wasting no money. So for 3 months, it looked like I wasn't wasting any money.
Then it caught up with
you. Yeah.
You still took the money, right?
Yeah, then it caught up with you. I think it was a good point, though. You got to manage your funds. You got to know what you have where at all times. And, again, I'm preaching to the choir right now, but I'm learning and I'm changing my behavior, and I'm trying to embrace this change that's so hard because Keela said it, change is hard. But when you're dealing with your money, right, you never miss something until it's gone. And for those of us who work every day, you know, we got paychecks coming in, you know, on a consistent basis. We are content with that. But at the end of the day, let me help you, friends. We have to know what's coming in, what's going out at all times. Let me just go ahead and recap the budgeting exercise. Step one, again, your monthly totals. You know, how much are you spending on necessities each month? Write them down. See what you are spending your money on. And guess what? You know, don't beat yourself up over the fact that you're spending ridiculously. Today, you need to stop it. Step two, payoffs. You know, how much is required to completely pay off things that are not paid for in your house, your TV, your furniture? Some of y'all got clothes that you're still paying on credit cards. If you purchase your clothes on credit cards and you haven't paid those credit card bills off, guess what? You still owe on those clothes that you're wearing. How much is it going to take in order for you to pay all of that off? You need to write it down. You need to know what you're actually gunning towards, what you're aiming towards. Step three, how far behind are you on accounts? You know, how many accounts are past due? You know, write down how many days you're past due. Contact those creditors. You know, try to negotiate as much as you can negotiate. And then step four, look at all of the different accounts that you have. When I say accounts, I'm talking utility accounts. I mean, any kind of account that you have to pay money into. How is it set up? Are you paying cash? Do you pay by check? Do you have automatic drafts set up? I would encourage you to set up automatic drafts for everything. That way, you're only spending what you need to spend. And, my friend, that's going to help you to, one, understand your current status, and then you'll know exactly what needs to be done, and then you can position yourself to apply the discipline to get your emergency fund situated and to get on a fast track to changing your behavior and embracing the change, the oh-so-difficult change that's required. Hey, Zig Ziglar, and for anybody who knows Zig Ziglar, definitely, you know, an icon in the world of finance, he states, I quote, "If you do the things that you need to do when you need to do them, then someday you can do the things you want to do when you want to do them." Many of us live these fantasy lives, again, trying to keep up with the Joneses and the Combses, and we broke his jokes. You know, stop trying to keep up with everybody else. Stop trying to look like everybody else. They don't really care about you. At the end of the day, when your bills are due, guess what? Nobody's going to answer the phone. Start getting your house in order. That was the whole purpose of tonight's topic. You're inside Money Monday. Super savings. We're talking about beating debt and building wealth. We're going to keep this going for the next few Mondays as we share information that's going to help you out. I want to end tonight with Proverbs 21 and 20. It states, In the house of wise are stores of choice food and oil, but a foolish man devours all he has. Impulse shoppers, people who just spend frivolously, the Bible calls you a foolish man. Get your house in order. Last minute feedback, comments, shout outs. Take us home, folks.
Oh, okay. So look, right? I agree with everything you said except for the automatic draft portion of it, because, and the only reason I am not for that is because it gives the company access to your bank account at any given time. And the thing is that, yes, it's good if it works. You know what I'm saying? Like, if they don't go into your account more than once a month. And a lot of people have, you know, have experienced that, where, you know, companies that have automatic draft, whether it's insurance or DirecTV or, you know what I'm saying, like whatever type of bill, just be careful when you make that decision. You know what I'm saying? Just be careful when you make that decision. I would have a separate account for your bills to come out of. If you're going to set up an automatic draft, I would just have a separate account for just bills.
Or have their bank do it instead of using the merchant. So it's insurance. Instead of having, like, your car insurance, your mortgage payment, your car payment with each individual merchant, just do it with your bank. And if there's an issue, they can fix it more quickly than going through a third party. So at
right.
your bank, have them pay the bill for you.
Right. Right. And other than that, whatever you do, do it well.
Thanks for rocking with us tonight, everybody. Ms. McCaskill, thank you very much. Sincere, thank you very much. CeeLo, thank you very much. Toya Didi, take us home.
Savings a priority. I mean, we've been talking about it all night. You got to save for an emergency fund. You should be saving for purchases instead of financing. You should be saving for wealth building and retirement. So if you're not saving, you need to figure out what's keeping you from saving. Once you figure that out, you can start your whole journey of wealth building. But until you figure out why you're not saving and the best way to start saving, you're going to pretty much be stuck in a rut. You're going to owe people, and you'll never have money in your pocket because someone will always have their hand out for it. So
that's
you got to start saving. So even now, you know, now's the best time. If you continue to put it off, then you'll, like I said, you'll never start that wealth building. So start now and be blessed.
And I just want to say, I believe it first starts with a state of mind. If you can believe that you can, in your heart, in your mind, you will do. To have a positive attitude. Don't be negative. It first starts with the thought and the dream that you can do it. And then you start with the action and put it into practice. If you don't know, go ask. Nobody's expecting you to know how to do it all by yourself. That's why we have this beautiful show, to educate everyone, to do our best on educating everyone the best that we can with information. And what we don't give you, do your own research and just use the bank as a tool, as a resource. Don't use it as your final answer. Know everything you need to know for yourself. Don't be a dumb dummy. As I tell my daughter, you know, find out for yourself and be a blessing. Whatever you learn, pray it forward.
Pray it forward. Good night, everybody. We got love for you.
Love is the party. My heart is such a disco ball. She's in line waiting. My guest list too long. I told her I would love her as forever, forever just a word. I put words together, stepping on the stars. She paused, and I know that one day this show will end. Applause, the strobe lights are dancing. We've taken all the chances. She questioned what we are, and I'll drink to the answer, cause my heart is out of service. My eyes turn black. I don't see love anymore. I'm blind to the fact I got my world in my pocket, cause I ain't trying to drop it. The sky is at my neck, so I turn up my collar. My world spin around her, cause it's a world without her. Oh,
when you know, like I know. When the sunlight falls down,
what?
There she goes.
Yeah.
She strobe lights, dance with the stars.
And I just can't live without her.
Yeah.
And she knows what she knows. And the rain is coming down. My heart is cold. I know she knows. And I always take
yeah, when the lights fade, blue lights they turn gray. Bitch, you don't love me no more.
Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. DM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. DM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. Live, 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 talk radio show. Talk radio show. Talk radio.